Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
And how are you, Ilan?
I am fine. How are you?
Thank God. Everything is wonderful. So how are your Pesach preparations coming along? All the cleaning and the preparing?
The two, we didn't start yet, but we will get there.
Yeah, well, you know that Pesach is going to come if we're ready or not.
Oh, yeah. Pesach is approaching us big time.
It's interesting. You know, I always talk to people. It's like no matter how much we prepare beforehand or how much we don't prepare, it's amazing how much effort and last-minute things we're rushing to do. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, but it's beautiful. Pesach is a wonderful holiday. It brings families together, friends together, and it's just a beautiful holiday. Really is. It's got a lot of history, a lot of richness, a lot of symbolizing why we do certain things, and that it was in the past, and how it's so much now, what's going up.
It started in Egypt. Let's put it that way.
Exactly, and we're still going through right now.
So what are we going to discuss today?
So I thought we would discuss, because we really, really have the two interviews. We have this week and we have next week, which is before Passover. So, you know, every year we sort of go through customs, and which I think we could do that next week. I think this week is if maybe we can go a little bit into reasons and symbolizations of why we do certain things at the Seder, why we go through the steps of the Seder, why we make the kiddush, why we break the matzah in half, so on and so forth, why the four cups of wine. So at least our listeners will be able to have a little bit of a understanding, and maybe even something that they can tell their people that are sitting at their Seder as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Draw down that we're now four fathers' footsteps, and at the Seder, you know, every person should see himself as he or she were going out of Egypt, beginning with our patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we recount the Jewish people's descent into Egypt and recall their suffering and persecution. We are with them as God sends, the 10th place to punish Pharaoh and his nation, and then they go through the crossing of the sea, and we witness the miraculous hands of God as the waters part to allow the Israelites to pass. Then return to drown the Egyptians. So we have to look and say that every single day in our lives, and specifically on that, we got to go out of our limitations, out of our Mitzrayim, out of our exile, and try and to go through something, to get to something new, a higher level. And God helps us.
Yeah.
We start the Seder, the part of the Haggadah. The first thing we do is we make the Kiddush. Proclaim the holiness of the holiday. And this is done, you know, over a cup of wine or grape juice if someone can't have wine. Yeah. And this is the first of the four cups that we will do when we drink at the Seder while we recline. So everyone asks, well, hold on a second. Why should I have four cups? Maybe one cup is enough. On Shabbat, we do one cup.
Yeah.
On Rosh Hashanah, we do one cup. Passover, four cups. But you want me to get drunk?
What does it represent?
Yeah, the Torah uses four expressions when God was speaking about freedom or deliverance in connection with our liberation from Egypt. It talks about in Exodus, the beginning of Exodus, and it says the four limited things of the Hotseif, and I'll take you out, Seifalti, and I'll save you, Vagalti, and I'll redeem you, Vakachi, and I brought you. That's the simple reasons that everyone knows why we do the four cups of wine. Interestingly enough, there's also another four reasons. The Jews, when they were in Egypt, they never changed their Hebrew names.
Yep.
They continued to speak their own language, in other words, Hebrew. They remained highly moral. There was no immorality going on. And number four, they remained loyal to one another. And each one of those steps represents the four cups. And wine is used, obviously, because it's a symbol of joy and happiness. And as I said, when we drink the four cups of wine, we recline. Why do we recline? Also, when we eat the matzah, we recline. We lean to our left side, which really, really shows the fact that we are free people. In ancient times, only three people had the luxury of reclining while eating. No one else did that. And we are now free people. Thank God we are not only free from Egypt, but we're also free in our country that we're able to practice our religion safely and securely without anyone telling us that you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so we're rich. We have that luxury. And that's why we recline. And as you move on to the rest of the seder, we have the urchatz, where we wash our hands, and it's a purification, really, process, the beginning, but we don't make the blessing. Every time we wash our hands before we eat bread, we make the blessing. But when we do the first washing of the seder, we do not wash, because the next step is the karpas, which requires the dipping food into water. And according to Jewish law, according to halacha, that either food that is eaten with a utensil that is dipped into something, you don't need to wash. But if you use our hand, we need to do that. We need to wash our hands before.
Yeah, because the hand has to be clean before.
Correct. And on the Seder Eve, we choose the less common observance of using our hands in order. We have to always remember, it's always to arouse the child's curiosity. And say, oh, how come are you doing this? Why are you drinking four cups of wine? Why are we eating the matzah? Why are you dipping the potato, the onion, the leek, whatever the person's custom is, into salt water? Why are we putting it into salt water? We never do that during the year. What's going on? So we arouse our child's curiosity. Then we get to the appetizer, which is the karpas, the dipping. A small piece of onion or boiled egg is dipped into salt water. And the salt water is really not that much an act of the pleasure or freedom. So you ask why? Because you want to be able to obviously arouse the child's curiosity.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the Hebrew word karpas, when we read it backwards, really alludes to the backbreaking labor performed by the 600,000 Jews in Egypt. Samach has a numerical value of 60, representing 60 times 10,000, while the last three Hebrew words spell perech, hard work. Because karpas, and you have, if you turn it around, you have perech.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that, the salt water represents the tears of our ancestors in Egypt. And then we go and we do the yachas. We break the matzah. The middle matzah on the Seder plate is broken into two. Obviously, the larger part is put aside for later to the use of afikoman, for the kids to be able to go and find it. And obviously, this is something unusual again. And we do it to be able to arouse our child's attention. But it really recalls, if you think about it, the meaning, the splitting of the Sea of Reeds, which allowed the Jews to be able to cross through. And a smaller piece of matzah is returned to the Seder plate. So this broken piece of matzah symbolizes humility that will be eaten later on when we eat the bread of poverty, when we make the blessing on the matzah. And then we move on to the famous part that all the kids and the adults love, is the Magid, the actual Haggadah. When we talk about where we were slaves in Egypt, the Manish Tana, why is this night different all night? Why the only matzah? Why do we do the dipping? Why the bitter herbs? Why do we relax? All these things, it triggers questions in a child's mind, and the child is going to ask, well, why do we do this? Why are we eating this bread of affliction? Why are we telling all these stories? And then we can answer with the Tzadik, Dima, you know, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and from that, the whole story, we're not going to go into the story now, it's going to take us too long, but the whole story then goes, you know, where we sing Ilu Ilu Hosianu and Dayenu and all the famous, beautiful songs.
Yeah.
And then we go and we wash our hands before the meal. This time it is customary, as we do every Friday night or Shabbat, where we make the blessing before we eat the bread. Well, in this case, you're going to be eating the matzah.
Yeah.
And we eat the matzah, and it's customary that we make the blessing, and every single person has that mitzvah, the commandment of eating the matzah. That's really the bread of affliction. And we don't only make the bracha hamotzi lechem min haaretz, that we make on bread and rolls, but we make a special bracha on the matzah. Such a big mitzvah of al achilat matzah. The fact that I'm eating the matzah. So that is a biblical, people don't realize it, but the four cups of wine, the matzah and the maror, are biblical commandments, and if we don't do any of those throughout the Seder, we don't, you know, we can't eat the most gourmet meal. So yeah, we haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Pesach. It's all an enhancement, the meal and everything, but the really the main essence is the wine, the matzah, and the, and now we get to the maror, which is the bitter herbs, and we dip it. Oh, I should go back for a second and say, why do we eat the matzah? Because this is a bread that, when they were leaving Egypt, had no time to be able to make it rise and make it beautiful bread, and they had to have what it was, and it was basically flat, what we have today. And we have the maror, the bitter herbs, and that we dip in the charoset, in the apples, nuts, and pears, and whatever everyone else is accustomed to do, because that reminds us of the cement that
our ancestors built the pyramids.
Correct. And then we go to the korach, the sandwich. The famous Hillel sandwich, the great Talmudic sage. And that is the sandwich of the matzah, the maror, is eaten together. And we say that special cana saw Hillel. This was the time that Hillel did it, when they would eat the animal sacrifice, the Korban Pesach, and the maror and the matzah, and we eat that together. Obviously, again, getting the curiosity of the kid. Why are we doing such a thing like this? And then we come to the famous part that everyone likes the most, is the Shulchan Aruch, the feast.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might think that, you know, you're already getting full a little bit. You have the matzah, and you have the wine, and you have the potato, and you have the maror. At that time, you know, you're sort of full. But we have the feast, and the meal is now served, and a lot of people have the custom, you know, we have the hard-boiled egg on one of the symbols on the Seder plate. And at that period of time, when we start the meal, a lot of people have the custom to eat that hard-boiled egg that they dip in salt water. Right, and it's interesting. Our rabbi was once asked why Jews eat eggs on Passover, and the rabbi answered that because eggs symbolize the Jew. He says, "Well, what do you mean?" And he explained. He says, "The more an egg is burnt or boiled, the harder it gets."
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with us as Jews, right? The more we get into, you know, people don't like it, we get stronger, we get harder.
Yeah.
And then, after we eat the meal, which you can eat and you have a wonderful time, because obviously the meal is the festivity, the festive part of Pesach. We go into the tzafon, out of the hiding. We go and we look for the afikoman. And which, quote unquote, you know, is the real dessert. The dessert after the dessert of the meal.
Yeah.
And you know, you go and you look for the afikoman, that was already put away, you know, without the kids knowing or so on and so forth.
You have to hide it before.
That's right. And we have a custom that we eat it before midnight. And then after that, obviously we do the grace after meal, the halal, which is the, I'm sorry, before that, we fill the cup of Elijah, an hour cup, which is the third cup.
Yeah.
The Eliyahu Navi, and we also fill out. Then we go and open the door, and we recite the passage, which is an invitation to the prophet of Elijah, which is coming. You know, the reason why we have Elijah coming, because hundreds of years ago, and Elijah came to God and said, "But, you know, Messiah hasn't come. The Jews are going to forget about everything. No one's going to know anything. No one's going to be interested in." And God said, "You'll see. And you're going to go to every single city, and you'll see that thousands of years later, you'll still see people, the Jews, still commemorating and still doing Passover."
He's the number one Ushpizin.
Exactly. Absolutely. And after that, we do the Hallel, which is a song of praise. At this point, we recognize the Almighty as His unique guidance of the Jewish people. So we praise Him. And after reciting the Hallel, we recite the blessing on the third cup of wine, and we drink it. And then the Nirtzah is we've finished the whole Seder, and we sing, you know, the Shana Haba Yerushalayim next year in Jerusalem, and we sing the Chag Gadiah with the goat and the chicken and the, I don't even know all the English
cats,
terms,
yeah.
And the cats and the stick and the this and that. That's right, and the show, yeah. We have a lot of fun actually doing that after Seder. We go through the whole thing in the community Seder. We go through the whole thing and everyone gets involved in the singing. And then you do Echad Mi Yodea, who is God is one and one is Asher, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So those are in a synopsis of the steps of the Seder, which, you know, when someone leaves the Seder, I encourage people, read the English. If you don't understand the Hebrew, read the English. Explain. This is a time that your kids are going to learn and know all about the Passover Seder. If you don't do it now, you're not going to do it during the year. So I encourage everyone. Right. There's so much information online, on websites, and the Haggadot, the people that have English ones. Make the effort. As parents, make the effort to teach, because that's what it's all about. It's teaching our kids the story of our heritage. Absolutely. So,
generation to generation.
Exactly. So that is the steps in short. I hope there's some insight with that, and I look forward to next week, God willing, we'll go through the customs of the Bedikat Chametz, of searching for the Chametz, burning the Chametz, and certain other customs that we do, and that's what we'll do next week.
That will be great, and maybe it's time to mention the Seder, the community Seder.
Yeah, we have the first night annual community Seder is Friday evening, obviously. We have a wonderful crowd already that has RSVP'd. It's very, very interactive. We do English, Hebrew, people ask questions.
Yes.
Obviously, we have all the handmade matzah special from Israel that's there. Choices, 5-6 different types of wines. And obviously, then we have a wonderful meal that is catered. So, it's invited.
And on the 3rd of April.
Of April, the first
night of the first Seder.
Correct, yep.
And for those of you who don't know, the second, well, there is a second Seder in Congregation Bethel. So,
yep.
You are covered.
That's right. So anyone that is looking for a Seder, they have no excuses why they can't find a Seder.
Yeah, yes, Seder, I call the Seder.
That is true.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good.
Olan, I want to wish you the next week that you'll be clean by the time.
Yeah, I have to find the candles first. No.
Good luck, and we'll talk next week.
Week, and yeah. I wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.